Lanquins, they have to restrict themselves to a few environments guaranteed to be free of residual plague spore, and even then there's a small risk. I looked at Zebra, trying to judge her. But you're not a hermetic. Are you no longer immortal?
No, Tanner. It's nowhere near as simple as that.
Then what?
After the plague, some of us found a new technique. It enabled us to keep the machines inside ourselves, most of them anyway, and still walk unprotected in the city. It's a kind of medication.
A drug. It does many things, and no one knows how it works, but it seems to barrier our machines against the plague, or weaken the efficacy of any plague spores which enter our bodies. This medication. What's it like?
You don't want to know, Tanner.
Suppose I were interested in immortality as well.
Are you?
It's a hypothetical viewpoint, that's all.
I thought so.
Zebra nodded sagely. Where you come from, immortality's something of a pointless luxury, isn't it? For those not descended from the Momios, yes.
Momios?
That was what we called the sleepers on the Santiago. They were immortal. The crew weren't.
We?
You talk as if you were actually there. Slip of the tongue. The point is, there's not much point being immortal if you're not going to survive more than 10 years without getting shot or blown up in a skirmish. Besides, the price the Ultras are charging, nobody could afford it, even if they wanted it.
And would you have wanted it, Tanner Mirabel?
Then she kissed me, and pulled back to lock eyes with me, much as Geeta had in my dream.
I intend to make love to you, Tanner. Do you find that shocking?
You shouldn't. You're an attractive man.
You're different.
You don't play our games, don't even understand them, though I imagine you'd play them reasonably well if you wished. I don't know what to make of you.
I have the same problem, I said. My past is a foreign country.
Nice line, except it isn't remotely original.
Sorry.
But in a way it's true, isn't it? Waverley told me that when he ran a trawl on you, he didn't come up with anything clear-cut. He said it was like trying to put together a broken vase.
No.
That's not quite what he said either. He said it was almost like trying to put together 2 or even 3 broken vases and not knowing which piece belonged where.
Revival amnesia, I said.
Well, perhaps. The confusion looked a little more profound than that, Waverley said, but let's not talk about him.
Fine. But you still haven't told me about this medication.
Why are you so interested?
Because I think I might have already encountered it. It's dream fuel, isn't it? It's what your sister was investigating when she was killed for her troubles.
She took her time answering.
That coat, it's not yours, is it?
No, I obtained it from a benefactor.
What has that got to do with anything?
It made me think you might be trying to trick me, but you really don't know much about dream fuel, do you?
Until a couple of days ago, I'd never heard of it.
Then there's something you should probably know, Zebra said. I injected you with a small quantity of fuel last night.
What?
It wasn't much, I assure you. I probably should have asked you, but you were injured and tired, and I knew there was very little risk.
Then she showed me the small bronze wedding gun she had used, 1 full vial of fuel in her cache. Fuel protects those of us who still have machines inside our bodies, but it also has general healing properties. That's why I gave it to you.
I'll need to get some more.
Will that be easy?
She gave me a half-smile and then shook her head. Not as easy as it used to be, unless you happen to have a hotline to Gideon.
I was about to ask her what she had meant by the remark about the coat, but now she had distracted me. I didn't think I had heard that name before.